Previously on the Ron Van Dam Show.
Do you ever get the feeling that I don't know what I'm talking about? I know what a meatloaf is. It has no arms. It's just a strap over your shoulders. Holy crap.
And now, today's episode.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Here I am, I'm over here.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
I'm over here, no, I'm over here. Yeah, here I am. Welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. I can prove it. Hello. See, there you go. Hear that part of Trump's border wall fell down. I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. Yeah, one of his famous border things. They were doing a replacement wall, and apparently, a big wind came and knocked the wall over, and it landed on the Mexican side. Ah, oh, darn. That's a true story, by the way. It just happened. I don't think the border wall would have outlasted the wolf and the three little pigs. I'll huff, I'll pluff, and I'll blow your border wall down. God. That'll do that. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, sit down, please. No, sit down. The standing ovation is wonderful. I appreciate it. Thank you very much. That's better. Thank you very much. Please sit down. Please sit down. Thank you. That's embarrassing. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Please sit down. Please sit down. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. That's it? All right. That's as long as the recording goes? Well, how are you? Happy Monday to you. Look, it's Monday already. What the hell's going on with this calendar thing? It seems like as soon as you're finished with one day, the next one begins. Give me a break for a little while, will you? Well, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. I'm talking about Kansas City, Iowa. Yeah, the President of the United States. You know this guy? You heard of this guy, Trump? He tweeted, as he does. I don't think he can talk or read, but he just sits there and tweets. By the way, people over 70 years old should not be tweeting. Good example. So the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Did you know that? Yeah, I heard it. I heard that. The Patriots didn't win for some reason, the Super Bowl. They weren't even in it. Can you believe it? So the Kansas City Chiefs win the Super Bowl with an amazing comeback in the last quarter of the game. It made it exciting, where previously in the first three quarters it was not exciting. The only exciting thing was the food and a couple of political campaign ads, and other than that, and Shakira and J-Lo, I get it, you can dance, but you can't lip sync. Neither of you can. I don't know if there's a delay system or what's going on, but it just looks cheeseballish. But they did their little Latino thing, because it was in Miami, the Super Bowl, and it was nice. A good display of special effects and lighting and stuff like that, and fine, whatever. Whatever, whatever, whatever. So then the Kansas City Chiefs win, and Trump tweets out, congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs, showing a lot of pride in your home state of Kansas. You did good for your people in Kansas. All right, here's the deal. I don't know if you went to school or not, but Kansas City is also in Missouri, and the Kansas City Chiefs play in Kansas City, Missouri. It's Missouri that they made proud. They don't play in Kansas, the state of Kansas. So Don, again, a great display of your understanding of nothing. Now, granted, most of you didn't know that Kansas City was in Missouri and in Kansas, but the Kansas City Chiefs play in Kansas City, Missouri, representing Missouri. Most of you didn't know that. I give you that much. But you're not president of the United States. There you should know that. I know it's nice for the common man to become president. Trump ain't common, and he ain't acting like a president. Trump also doesn't know where the Ukraine is. If you recall, it had to be pointed out on a map to him. If you're going to hold up over $400 million in aid to a country, at least know where it is that you're holding it up. Oh, God. I don't like the word moron, but then why does he represent that word so well? All right, enough about him. I got more, but I'm not going to do it. So congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs of Kansas City, Baltimore. Hey, here's an adorable story. I just love this story because I have a secret love for pigs. If you saw who I dated when I was a young adult, you'd agree with that. I do seem to have an affection for pigs. No, I really do. I had a dream recently about a week ago. I don't know if I talked about it on the air. I can't recall anything, to be honest with you. The brain cells are just dropping like flies all of a sudden. I had a dream where I was over at somebody's house and they had a pet, a potbelly pig. And I don't know the difference between a pig and a potbelly pig. I think I'm a potbelly man, because I have a potbelly. So I don't know what that means. But anyway, this couple invited me and my girl over to their house, and they had a little miniature pig, which they treated like a little dog, and the little pig was so affectionate, kept nestling up to my crotch, and just so soft and affectionate. The pig. Pigs aren't soft and affectionate, but I don't know. In my dream, it was. And I love this pig, and I said, well, when I get home, I'm going to get myself a pig. I'm gonna get myself a pig. I found them to be such an adorable little pet. Yeah, I know. Who does that? Who thinks that way except me? And then I read this story, which is actually true, where they actually are. Here's the deal. In South Carolina, which is right next to Utah, according to Trump, in South Carolina, there's an animal sanctuary, and they're looking for volunteers. This is nice. Volunteers to cuddle with their pigs. You volunteer, you go to the sanctuary, and you cuddle with the pigs. Now, I don't know if you have to have sex with them first. I think the female pigs want you to cuddle immediately after. But they're trying. Here's the goal: to get homes to start adopting these pet pigs. So if you give them the love, it domesticates the pig, and people bring them home and they say, "I want this pig," and they have a pet pig. I guess miniature pigs only grow to a certain size. Duh, huh? How did I know that? And they are great little animals. I don't know where they poop or how they poop or even what comes out of them. I really don't know much about pigs. I kind of feel that if I had a pet pig, I wouldn't eat bacon anymore. We can start right there. I don't think I'm going to have a ham sandwich. I don't think that's going to happen if I love my pig. It's a good way to wean yourself off of pigs. But can you imagine having a little pet pig in the house?
Aww.
I know. I know that they like to waddle around in mud, but so do I. So this is don't interrupt me. That's a great idea. So congratulations to the South Carolina Animal Sanctuary. They're looking. If you happen to live in South Carolina, our show goes there. It goes everywhere. So if you look this up and cuddle a pig. God, oh God, oh my God, what the hell's going on? Here's a very strange story. This happened in December. A Michigan couple, you know Michigan, that's right next to Florida. A Michigan couple was kicked off of an American Airlines flight from Miami to Detroit. By the way, if you have never been kicked off of an American Airlines flight, you're nobody. Everybody has. What's wrong with you that you stay on the flight and they don't kick you off? American Airlines loves to kick off their passengers. They want you to book. They want you to fly with them. But they also like kicking you off of their flights. I think it's a power thing or something. A Michigan couple was kicked off of an American Airlines flight to Miami to Detroit. The couple happened to be Orthodox Jews. Just happened to be. American Airlines says that the airline hostess, that's what you call them, I think, flight attendant, went up to the couple and said, I'm sorry, you're going to have to exit the aircraft. And they said, why? And they said, because you stink. Excuse me, they said, these Orthodox Jews. Excuse me, you stink. You smell, and apparently what was said to them, which was most offensive to the Orthodox Jews, well, was, I know you people only shower once a week, or only bathe once a week, I don't know, to which they took great offense. Could be true, but they took great offense to that, because that's discrimination. So obviously this couple is... suing American Airlines for discrimination because they were Orthodox Jews, and perhaps it may be true that they only bathe once a week, but they were thrown off the airline because they were incredibly putrid, apparently. They interviewed other people on the flight, and they agreed it was incredibly putrid. They really stunk like they haven't bathed in a week. Now, you can't see, that's discrimination. You can't say that because you're an Orthodox Jew, you only bathe once a week, therefore you stink. It's feasible that that's possible, but I know a lot of people that aren't Orthodox Jews who stink as well. High school wrestling kids, they stink. People from other countries stink too. I'm not going to go there, I'm just saying. So that's the ongoing lawsuit. So my question to you is if I even had a question for you, is it okay to kick people off of flights if they stink? I say yes. You can't make comments to them like, you people only bathe once a week. It's, if everybody can stink, and if you stink too much to the discomfort of most passengers around you, like the whole plane, yeah, you can be removed from the plane. I don't want to sit in a tube with a stinky person. I don't care what the religious background is or their religious orientation. If you stink, you stink. So kudos to American Airlines for saving my nasal passage had I been on that airline. But the way that you went about it was just really discriminatory and all wrong. It's just wrong. You could have done this in a better fashion. You didn't have to go there, so to speak, quote-unquote, go there, quote-unquote. I don't like people who stink. I remember doing a wedding. I was a wedding videographer as a occupation, second occupation. I'd been doing radio and then, you know, that, being a wedding videographer. And why was I a wedding videographer? Because I was invited to parties to videotape them, and I got paid to do it. I used to make a joke about it, and they said, Ron, do you go to church? I go to church every single weekend, and they pay me to go. Wow, what religion is that? Buddhism. Anyway, they paid me like a lot of bucks to videotape their wedding, and I did this for about 20 years. and it was very lucrative. Thank you very much for asking. So I remember going to this one church in Massachusetts, and I walked into the church with my camera equipment, all ready to start videotaping. The guests were starting to arrive at the church and that kind of thing, milling around. And the groom shows up. The groom always arrives at the church first before the bride, unless you've never been married, you don't know that. The groom shows up, and all of a sudden, the entire church just starts stinking. The guy, apparently at his bachelor party the night before, had tons and reams of garlic, just shoved garlic bulbs down his throat, apparently, or something. He reeked of garlic, to the point where, as soon as he walked into the church, the entire church smelled of garlic. It was like the air was so thick that it actually became foggy. And this guy just stunk. And out of the 100 to 150 guests in the church, not one of them had the balls to say to the groom, "You freaking stink, man. Get a breath mint," as if that's going to help at your level. I mean, you need Ghostbusters, or you need like extermination services, that you just reek. I don't know what animal died in your cavity, but you stink, man. But nobody said it to him, because you can't say that to the groom, much less anybody. You can't walk up to them and say, "Oh, God, you stink." You don't do that unless you're married to them, and he wasn't married yet. They go through the entire service. I'm gasping for breath. This guy has just stunk up the whole church. Instead of the priest during the mass, handing out the host to the guest, he was handing out gas masks. It was really bad. Then they had a receiving line, and I have to videotape the receiving line so you can hear the comments of the guests going through the receiving line to the bride and groom. That's part of what I do in my little service thing for the videotaping. And I have to stand near the groom, and he's reeking. And the guests are coming up saying, "That was a wonderful wedding. Oh, Jesus." I mean, I don't know if all these people were Catholic or Christian or whatever, but Jesus was mentioned like through that receiving line like you've never heard it before. Congratulations. Oh, Jesus. It was amazing. It was so religious. The bride didn't say a word about it, not in public at least. It was just a horrible day. All I could do was smell this guy. I smelled this guy in the air psychologically for about 3 weeks after that. Everywhere I went, I still smelled him. I don't know where he lives, but somehow he like reeked across state borders. It was just awful. Oh, it was awful. Just awful. All right, let's stop here, because I have a grace. What the hell am I talking about? Why can't I talk? Maybe I should be tweeting, because the talking thing isn't working out for me. Ron, why don't you do a radio show for 25 years? Did you know you can't talk, Ron? Did you? Anybody ever point that out to you? No, they didn't. I have a great guest coming up. It's Uncle John. Do you have an Uncle John bathroom reader? Do you have one of those? There's so many editions of it. Constantly, every year, they come out with another edition of these things. And you sit on the toilet, and you basically just read about little interesting facts while you're taking a crap. It's genius. It's absolute genius. So we're actually going to talk to Uncle John himself. Yeah, I know. It's quite an event. Happy Monday to you, by the way. We're going to take a break. Do you need help around the house?
Hi, this is Bob Robinson from Bob's Handy Around the House. I'm a local handyman. I've been in business for the last 50 years on my own, doing light repair work in our area. Whatever you need done, carpentry, painting, floors, tiling, yard work, I can do it all for you. I'll come to your home and do the work for a very reasonable fee. Naked. I should probably mention that I will be naked while I do this work. Buck naked, not a stitch on me, waving in the wind, in my birthday suit, showing what God gave me. Naked as a jaybird. I'll be naked the whole time. I show up naked. I do the work naked. You pay me while I'm naked. Bob's Handy Around the House, Bob Robinson. You can look me up on Facebook, where I am naked.
Gordon Javna joins us now. Good morning, Gordon.
Good morning, Ron.
I call you Garden by mistake.
That's okay. I've been called worse. At least Garden is a pretty place.
Yeah, I guess.
I've been called some bad things. In fact, yesterday somebody called me.
Really? They called you Garden yesterday? That's pretty cool.
No, they just called me some bad things.
Oh, okay. Well, people know you better as Uncle John, I guess.
Some people do.
Yeah.
My readers do, yeah.
Your readers do. Uncle John's Bathroom Reader. It's been around, actually, before the internet, it was used as the most valuable source of information.
I met some people a couple of years ago who are puzzle constructors. They write puzzles that appear in the New York Times and other place, and they told me just what you said before the internet. Yeah. They used Uncle John's Bathroom Reader as a reference source, which made me cringe a little bit because if we didn't get it right, if we made a mistake, and they were using our information to construct crossword puzzles, but water under the bridge.
To me there are like three major publications in the world. There's the Bible. The annual reprinting of the Encyclopedia Britannica, which I don't know if they do anymore. And then there's
They do not.
And then there's Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, which many countries that had communism now don't have anymore because of your book, so I appreciate that.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a major source. Every time I think I've read it all, and how could they possibly put out another edition, there's another one.
You know, Ron, I feel exactly the same way because in preparing for this interview, mm-hmm. So when I finish a book, and I finish them in, summertime-ish. And when I finish a book, I really don't want to look back at it. I really have to just keep going on to the next thing because I've had it with this thing. I spend so much time with these books that I really need a break, and I never want to look at them again. And then in preparing for an interview like this, I have to go back and peruse the book, pick out articles, and I always go, wow, there's some good stuff in this book.
This is not a bad book after all.
It's not bad. It's good stuff. I mean, this book has stories about how reality TV is faked, called The Harsh Reality of Reality TV.
Good.
That's fun. We have Gone with the Sequels, which is about how the family of Margaret Mitchell, who wrote Gone with the Wind. Yeah. She died in a car accident, or she was hit by a car in 1949.
Really?
And yeah, she was only 49 years old, and she didn't have any children, but she had nieces and nephews, and they inherited the proceeds of her estate. And they decided in the 1970s, just after it was 50 years old, because it was written in the 1930s, they decided to do a sequel, to commission a sequel. And the reason, and I was wondering, why would they bother? They were making, the movie still. They were gonna the copyright was about to expire, and they were afraid they were gonna lose control of the characters. So they commissioned a sequel, which sold 6 million copies.
Oh.
It was called Scarlet. It sold 6 million copies, which is in the book world is like off the charts. You know, we hear platinum, double platinum albums in music, but not in books. They don't sell that many.
No, they don't.
With the exception of some bestsellers.
Right, like the Batman.
So anyway, that's a cool story, and
that's very cool.
And we have stories about. Yeah, thanks. We also have stories about futurists. We have stories about taxidermy. You know, taxidermy is a kind of a fun new fad. I guess it was not fun for the animals, but it's fun for collecting. We have stories about celebrities who collect taxidermy, and stories about how the White House before there was the White House, where did the president live? Turns out there were five buildings in which were either built for the federal mansion or houses in which Washington lived. And we You know, we write about how they got there and also what happened to them afterwards. It's kind of interesting. One of them in New York City is the neighborhood, Cherry Street. That's the first place that Washington lived when he was...
Cherry Street.
After he was elected president. Cherry.
Interesting.
Yeah. Cherry Street. Yeah. And that street is no longer there. They tore down everything. It after Washington, you know, 100 years after Washington, it had devolved into, you know, a seedy neighborhood with brothels and bars there. And yeah. And later they tore it down to build the Manhattan Bridge.
Oh, my God.
So the only marker there is for this house is a memorial plaque, which is on one of the piers for the bridge. But you can't even see it because after 9/11, they put barricades around major structures, and so you can't even see the plaque anymore.
You know what I found fascinating is that with the Gone in the Wind thing, she died when she was 49 in 1949. Can you imagine being born in 1900 or in 2000 and that it's such a clean record of your age?
Yeah.
It's what a marvelous thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be wonderful.
It makes you, when you see that somebody's 49 in 1949, it makes you think, is this a typo?
Yeah, because it's just too perfect. It's too perfect.
So unusual, yeah.
It's
my grandfather was born in 1899.
That's close.
And close, but just to remember how old he was, I always had to remember it was the year minus one or plus one.
Yeah, but see, then there's math involved, and that's where it screws me up.
Okay.
And, you know, I don't know if I'm like plus one, minus one. I can't figure that out. Can I ask you, let me ask you a question, Garden. Are you married?
Yes.
Okay, because I was thinking, if you weren't, what a great pickup line you've got. Like, I mean, you would be so engaging to, like, any woman would be sitting there and go, you know, I know about the Cherry Street before the Manhattan Bridge. And you go, oh, my God, I've got to have sex with you.
Well, I don't think stories about Cherry Street are particularly, aphrodisiac.
That's where you're missing the point.
And, in fact, I would even tell you my wife is so sick of hearing these stories.
I would assume so. So how do you keep all this stuff? I mean, obviously you have a team of people. As I remember from our last interview, not a huge team of people necessarily, but a team.
No, there's six of us.
Yeah, it's not
six
a lot.
Of us all together.
It's not a lot for this amount of information. Have you ever calculated? I think I asked you this before. Have you calculated how many pieces of information you've actually compounded together?
But we have over 40,000 pages
yes.
of material that we've produced. So I don't know if you figured
maybe 10?
10 yeah. facts per page,
yeah.
400,000.
That's
half
a lot.
A million, something like that.
That's a lot. And apparently, from your description, you know every single one of them.
Yeah, well, that enough. Ain't true.
And you also... go on.
I have trouble remembering what's in the latest book. You know, when we... You know, I would say 15 years ago, yes, I remembered everything, but we just keep adding to the list. But there's some great stuff to know. And I always worry that we're going to run out of things to write about.
It's a huge world. It's a huge world, and there's a lot of trivia stuff in it that people really don't care about. And then when you write about it, they go, "Well, that's actually interesting." How many years has How many years have you been in publication?
Well, this is our 27th year.
So you're older than 27.
And in book year, I said 6 million copies of a book is off the charts in book year. So is 27 years for a series. Really unusual. There are very few. You mentioned the Bible. That's one.
Yeah.
But you know, like Guinness World Records or Ripley's or Dummies books. You know, but there aren't that many that have been around this long.
Well, Friday the 13th, part 75,000 is.
There you go.
Probably the only runner-up you've got. What's the most interesting piece of information that any of your writers or yourself ever came to you with, and you went, "That is like unbelievable, phenomenal that ever happened"?
You know, they all, I hate to say it this way, but most of them have to be that. They have to wow me off the charts to get my interest to begin with, because I have seen so much, so many stories, that if they're not really a wower, then I reject them. There's a great story in this book about Jean Seberg. She was an actress in the 60s, in the 50s and 60s, 70s. She was discovered by a producer named, or a director named Otto Preminger, for a movie. She was the lead in his movie called St. Joan. And that was in the late 50s, and she was 19 years old, and she was in a few other movies, Paint Your Wagon, and some other movies. Well, somebody found a story, one of my writers found a story about her. In the early 1970s, an item appeared in a gossip column in Los Angeles saying that she was pregnant, and her and the father of her baby was a member of the Black Panthers.
Oh.
And a few months later, it appeared in the same... It was reported as a rumor.
Uh-huh.
A few months later, it was reprinted in Newsweek magazine as fact.
Oh.
And they even mentioned who they said the father was. Well, it was not true. She was married, and she was pregnant, but the baby was not out of wedlock.
Right.
But she was so upset that the day the article came out, she miscarried. And subsequently, she committed suicide.
Oh my
God!
Years
later, broke up her marriage, and then she committed suicide. And then her ex-husband committed suicide.
Oh my.
And then it turned out, through the Freedom of Information Act, that it was discovered that it was a smear campaign by the FBI, by Hoover, J. Edgar Hoover, and the FBI, because she had once donated money to the Black Panthers. They targeted her, and
wow.
Oh my God, what a story!
It's
a heartbreaking story.
That is phenomenal.
Yeah, that's one of those things. When I read it, I went, "Oh my God, how did I never hear this story before?" And it's really a heartbreaker.
So, for those of you that may not be familiar, it's Uncle John's Bathroom Reader. It's got thousands of other titles to it because they're always coming up with something different. But it's that. And it's like what you may recall as the Reader's Digest, only it's like really fun stuff, except for the Seberg story. And it's just great. Nothing's that long that you can't just quickly sit there for like a short little shit and it's all, you've read the story. It's really, I'm sorry, now you can't replay this. But it's just the greatest literary piece in the world. Buy a copy if you never have. If you have, then you're going to buy it anyway. And is there a website where we can follow you?
Sure, bathroomreader.com. They make it easy for me to remember. If it was anything complicated, I probably wouldn't remember it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Gordon, or as I fondly call you, Garden. And we'll talk to you the next time it comes out. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks.
Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for your indulgence today. Hey, here's the deal. I'm going to do this again tomorrow around the same time, maybe a little bit earlier. Who knows? But I'll be here all day right here at this particular platform. I'm on a platform. See me? We're on iHeartRadio, iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Radio Public, YouTube, Podbean Network, that's our host, SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Player FM, Podbay, and all kinds of different other things all over this great country of ours, where we have just transformed from democracy into dictatorship. This is fantastic. I'm glad that... we fought the British in order to get rid of the king, and then we apparently voted one back in again all this time after. Well, I guess it takes time to go back to your roots. Hey, have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I mean that. Make this the best day you can, because that's what you should do, because I told you to. Cuddle up with a pig, will you? Mm-hmm. I know what you're going to say. I know. I wish you peace.